back in on Canuck Central. It's Dan Riccio and Bick Nizar here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Canucks and Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow. That means we'll be on live at 2 o'clock in lead up to a 4 o'clock puck drop, official Canucks pregame show starting at 3 for the Tampa Bay Lightning's home opener at Amalie Arena. All right, let's get into it with Don Taylor. He joins us every Monday, the legend himself, Donnie and Dolly, 10 to noon on Czech TV. Thanks for doing this as always, Donnie. Happy Thanksgiving.
Right back at you guys. Hope all is well.
Everything is pretty good. Canucks, even though they are winless through their first two games, they've at least got 2 points. I mean, we're searching for the positives so far, and I think Rick Tocchet has built up enough of confidence with us and the fan base that I think most people are still pretty calm. Although in prior years, it might be a different story for Canucks fans.
Yeah, I think so. And obviously there's things that are alarming, and I think for not alarming, but certainly noteworthy from a negative point of view. And I think that for me starts with giving up leads and you know, third period leads at home against teams you should beat, teams with inferior talent. But I'm totally with you. You look at the Jack Adams Award from last year, and you say to yourself, you know, you have to have confidence in that coach to make sure things turn around. Again, it's two games, but I mean, we're in a hockey crazy market, so everything's going to get a little bit overblown. It hasn't been perfect. I think people were expecting perfection, and you know, that's the way this market is. And I think you have to be realistic. You look at what happened in Edmonton last year, how they turned things around, and how they're going to have to turn things around this year, apparently, up in Edmonton, 0-3. And I just think there's enough talent there, and the coaching staff is well-respected enough that you know, they'll get on the right track. It's just, you know, and the other thing, too, is, you know, they need to get on the right track, and it's going to be tough on a four-game road trip against some pretty good teams.
So is this a good problem to have, Donnie? If I mapped out, you know, potential, you know, landmines to begin the season, and the thing we came into two games in was, hey, they have to figure out how to salt away third period leads. I feel like we'd all sign up for it, even though it is two losses in overtime. Of all the problems to have, at least you're having leads going into the third period.
Yeah, that is true. And I think it's a situation where they beat themselves as much as, you know, and those other teams, I think, outworked them, but they're correctable. This isn't a situation where, you know what, we're just outgunned. They have more talent than us. We don't know what to do. These are correctable. You know, when the defensive system breaks down and you've got a coaching staff that knows what it's doing, and the Canucks do, you can correct these mistakes. So it's not like they were overmatched or out-talented. They can do something about the mistakes that they made.
I think what it is, Donnie, is, you know, part of it, some of these new guys, they're still learning the system. They only got one full game together as a group in preseason. We saw Daniel Sprong make the mistake on the tying goal against Philly. It just feels like some of these new guys are still getting integrated.
Yeah, and that makes sense, and they've got expectations on them and high expectations, and maybe that plays into it. I thought it was an interesting interview with Vincent Desharnais. And I don't know if you guys saw it on the weekend. I'm sure you did. You work harder than I do. But that he said something to the effect, and other players have said this, that the Canucks system is especially complex when compared to other teams in the National Hockey League. So what you just said there about players getting used to the system, because look, you come from a hockey background, you played enough hockey, you coached, you know, minor hockey, it's, you know, box plus one, and, you know, it's a 2-1-2-4 check one. How many different things can you do? Well, when you get to the National Hockey League level, there's a lot of different things you can do. And, you know, the word is the Canucks system under Rick Tocchet is a little bit more complex than others. So what you just said there, I'm not trying to make excuses, but it's more complex than most NHL teams, and so it would make sense that it would take a while to get used to.
Of the new guys, who's left the biggest impression for you?
Well, I guess that, you know, and I don't know if this is a good thing, but it has to be Lankinen. I look at the way he played in that game against Philadelphia, And I'm thinking to myself, maybe that's the guy who's going to carry the load. Again, just two games, but he's going to carry the load versus Seelovs. I don't think a lot of people would have guessed that. But for me, it would be him. I like DeBrusk's speed. I think he looks good there. And I just think that there's, you know, and again, that line has to, you know, I know they switched the lines up today at practice, or so there's that. But Lankanen, DeBrusk speed, I like, but that goaltender looked really, really good. And I thought he handled the puck well too, which is an extra bonus.
You know, Talkett has already said that he's going to still mix in both goalies, but we all saw the first two games. Lankanen was clearly better than Artur Shilov's. Vancouver loves a good goalie controversy. Would you prefer Talkett stick with the hot hand, or how do you want to see the coach handle this?
You know, Artur Shilov was so surprisingly sharp, and I know people go, his save percentage was under 900, but he did way better than people thought he thought he would. I think a lot of people are, you know, pulling for him, and he's got that personality. And last year with the pink and black shirt and all of that, a lot of people are pulling for him. But you got to go with the hot hand, and I'm not saying that Kevin Lankanen is especially hot right now, but he was clearly the better of the two goaltenders. They need a win. I don't know what the news is today, but I would go with him in Tampa.
This probably comes as no surprise, but the microscope, the focus is already on. What do you call him, Mr. 11.6? Elias Pettersson.
Hold on a second here. I'm not the only one calling him that. In fact, you don't even do the Mr.
You just say 11.6.
Yeah.
Very informal.
I've stopped calling him that, and now other people are calling him that, so there must be something to it, but I've just stopped because it just, like, our inbox gets flooded, and I'm disrespectful, and I'm not on board, and all that stuff. So I've stopped, but, you know, it's not looking great right now, but I interrupted you. What were you going to ask
me? No, it's all good. What's probably most interesting, I mean, it's two games. He's got one assist. He wasn't great on Saturday. There were other people that weren't great either. But you're expecting a lot out of a guy making that kind of money. We get it. But it was interesting to me to see him working extra at practice and then talk it. As well, when he was asked about it, saying he's going to have to keep working like this to get his game back and going. Did you make anything of that exchange or what Talkett had to say about Pettersson's game and where it's at right now?
Well, I just love the fact that, I mean, if you're a Canucks fan, you have to love the fact that he was staying out, you know, extra. So, you know, staying out after practice and trying to get his game back. So clearly he feels that that's something up, but guys, I don't know. I mean, he's passed up a couple of shots. I want to see him shoot. And we talked about this last week, I think. I just want to see him, like, don't pass up shots. Pop one in, get your confidence going, and maybe things go from there. There was a real – and he's got to stay on his feet. And I don't know, like, you know, like, maybe he's got to do more leg curls. I don't know what the hell's going on there, but he's got to stay on his feet more. But take some shots, pop one in, see what happens and go from there. I think that's where you start. But guys, did you notice that one sequence the other night when he fell three times in the corner of the power play like 10 or 15 seconds? It was pretty disturbing. So shoot more, stay on your feet. I know it's easier said than done, but you know, maybe that's where it starts for him.
The bit of going out early on practice, you know, I think it would be more alarming too of if it was like, I'm underperforming and I'll figure it out eventually. That bit that you mentioned that you said you liked too, it's at least it shows a level of care, because I think that's one of the criticisms that comes out a lot to see him on the ice from fans say it just doesn't look like he cares. Well, then, you know, to me, I don't know if he'd play well as he has defensively, you know, turning away pucks, but also, you know, putting a little bit extra work to remedy it.
Yeah, you know what? It's great. It's always interesting when you go to games and you notice that his 200-foot game, and certainly was at the start of his career, is really, really good. And getting back to the body language situation, do we make too much of it? Because I understand that there's, you know, I don't know what a guy is supposed to do, but we criticized, and when I say we, a lot of us, including myself, criticized JT Miller for being the exact opposite. Like almost, you know, like showing that he cares too much and getting on his teammates, slamming his stick and, you know, yelling at people and things like that, which might have been accentuated by the fact that in a lot of cases during that period, he was in an empty arena during COVID times and you could hear everything and notice and notice everything. And Pedersen is almost the exact opposite, where it just seems like sometimes the whole world is on his shoulders, and he really shows that. And maybe we make too much of it, but again, he needs a big game. He does, and it's got to come, I would think, pretty soon. And I think then the 11-6 situation isn't such a big deal. At least that might be the start of things turning around for him. But number one, I wish you'd shoot the puck more and be a little more selfish.
There is an element to that as well, just wanting to shoot the puck. And you hear goal scorers say this all the time. You want to get that one in the column as early as possible, right? Because the longer this goes on, it's just going to become a self-fulfilling thing all of a sudden. That's like, I can't score all of a sudden. And we know it's been a while since a 5-on-5 goal, but like the sooner he's able to get that, I think it'll alleviate a lot of calm or a lot of concern from the market. And then if there's a slump thereafter, sure. But having that zero in the column just makes it look worse.
Well, and I think what's really frustrating for Canuck fans, first of all, right now that it looks like it might be a bad contract. That's right now. I don't know if things can change. But it's not like he doesn't have a great shot. He's got a wicked shot, one of the best on the team easily. And I don't know, is he worried about hurting people or something, or is it just in his nature? But it hasn't been in the past. He just let that thing go. So it's frustrating. Elias, this just in. You got a great shot. Well, forget about one of the best of the Canucks. Maybe one of the best in the league, especially from that right faceoff circle on a power play. Use the damn thing. And it's frustrating for people.
Yeah, and I think the whole top six right now has been an issue. Not that JT Miller gave us a little bit of everything, right, in that first game, some good and some bad while having the Gordie Howe hat trick. But, he was kind of silent on Friday, while the bottom six, looked really good against Philadelphia. I think a lot of the Canucks' issues are fixed once the top six starts scoring regularly at 5-on-5. Really, they've only had success on the power play so far.
Yeah, and you have to think, given the talent there, especially with the guys who've been there for a while, Miller, Besser, and Pedersen, that's going to turn around. I'm not saying this is a pleasant problem, but I think it's one that's given the personalities and the talent involved, things are going to turn. Again, just two games, but things are going to turn around for those for those players. I can't see it not turning around.
So one of the interesting stats from the first two games, and look, it's still very much small sample size season, so take everything with a grain of salt. But to me, this is a bit of a continuation from what we saw in the playoffs and at different points during the regular season. But the Canucks have had 96 shot attempts at 5-on-5, Donnie, and only 33 have made it on goal. So basically 30% of the shots. And their shots for per 60 minutes in the league is second worst, only to the Tampa Bay Lightning, who've played one game to this point. So I keep hearing Rick Tocchet in my head talking or mentioning we got to hit the net more 1,000 times during the playoffs. And I got to say, I've felt that way through each of these first two games for the Canucks too.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. A couple of things. I believe the first game, maybe it was the second, sorry, my memory's not serving me well here, but Quinn Hughes had 7 of his shots blocked.
Yeah.
It was a really weird stat. He had no shots on goal, no shot attempts missed, yet, but he had 7 blocked. And when you talk about, right, the second thing is that you talk about Rick Tocchet talking about getting the puck on net. How far back does that go? That goes back to the middle of last season when he was complaining about that. It just sounds like the simplest thing in the world. And the good news is I'll go back to what I said earlier in this conversation, that's something that's correctable. Get the puck on net. You're not sure what to do. It just sounds so simple, so easy. Maybe sometimes it's not, but these guys are pretty good. But although Tocchet has been complaining about it a lot, get the puck on net. Thing is, with getting the puck on net so many times, it's like a pass. So there's a rebound there and the puck's sitting there, you pop it in. Again, sounds simple, but it's clear that it's frustrated talking, not just for these first two games, but going back to last year.
Yeah, with Hughes, it was game one that you mentioned, 7 blocked, but it was 5 the other game as well. So it's 12 already.
Yeah.
Yeah, so far this year.
It's almost like teams are defending the Canucks higher in the zone.
Yeah, weird stat.
I just want to bring up his partner as well, right? I'll let you call him Mr. 7.25, but like, we haven't seen we haven't really seen them be as, you know, ice tilting as they were in the early part of last season.
Hey, listen, after that, after, you know, his interview at the end of last season, at the point, I don't want to get Philip Hronek upset with me, so I'll never call him that. not a chance in the world. But again, and then with the situation with those two, and although we saw Meyer skating down in Tampa, and you wonder if it would be a good idea to break them up just to spread out the wealth a bit. But again, two games, I think that's the least of their problems, that pairing of Hronek and Hughes.
So are you guys a turkey family, ham family? Like, how does Thanksgiving weekend go?
I have a daughter and obviously a wife, and they don't eat a lot of meat. I don't even want to talk about this, but we had something, and it was delicious, called a nut loaf. So you can look it up. Okay.
We're on corporate computers. I'm not sure if I want to look up nut loaf. Thank you very much, Donnie.
Yeah, probably not a good idea. It was actually really, really good. And then, you know, I got two boys and they had like tenderloin. So but I was forced to eat that because, you know, it was made by the girls in my family. So it was delicious, though. It was absolutely wonderful. Small gathering. Both my wife and I come from, we have six brothers and sisters each. So we just have a small gathering at Thanksgiving and the Christmas. It gets kind of crazy. But I think after yesterday at Christmas, there will be nut loaves, sir.
Well, Donnie, we're thankful for you joining us every Monday. Thanks for this again.
No problem, guys. Always fun.
There is the great, the legendary Don Taylor joining us here on Canuck Central on a Thanksgiving Monday. Taking time out of his Thanksgiving to join us.
Huge.
Here, although, on Monday.
Are you a Sunday dinner or a Monday dinner guy?
Generally, we were, I feel like Sunday. It would depend on everybody's schedules, really.
Right. The trick is to do them every day of the weekend.
Well, yeah, this is Josh's conundrum here.
Josh, I got to say. Like, Josh is usually a pretty energetic guy around the office.
Yeah.
He is laboring through today.
Old Joshy energy over there.
That's what people call me. I was like, I had to get horizontal after the dinner last night. I was like, I am in a rough state. And then all I was thinking about was like, oh man, I got to do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, it's not Thanksgiving Day for you. It's Thanksgiving weekend for you.
Saturday, I'm at my dad's house. Yeah. 30 people there. Sunday,
30?
30 people.
Oh my goodness.
Last night, I'm at my mom's house. There's like a dozen people. And then tonight, it's just my mother-in-law, my wife, and me.
That's,
man, 30 people with like not catered, right?
You're
doing it all from one oven, and man, the logistics of that is just mind-boggling.
Well, like people, like you got to bring stuff and help out, but like
what'd you bring?
We brought apple crisp and a spinach dip.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
Josh and his spinach dip. He's a big spinach dip guy.
Josh, they're awesome. Running the bookends. The appies and the dessert.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have an idea of like how much turkey you've eaten, like in weight?
In weight?
Yeah.
In weight.
Like, are we talking at least like 2 pounds? You know, like how much turkey have you eaten?
So I tend
because like, you know, a pound is what, 454 grams or whatever.
Yeah, so, that didn't help me at all.
Let's make the measurement smaller and more difficult to comprehend.
450.
Also, you know that on hand.
I just confirmed he nailed that.
Yeah, wow. That's right. Yeah. Remember the metric system.
I'm probably around a pound. But I tend to lean
only a pound. Wow.
It's a gobble.
I think you're vastly underselling this.
Maybe. I tend to lean more towards sides.
Yeah.
And everything else.
Okay.
But it's kind of the move.
Yeah.
Potatoes will weigh you down pretty good too. Have you eaten
potatoes.
A lot of potatoes?
The stuffing has kind of been the main thing. Pierogies are a big fixture of my mom's side for Thanksgiving, and those are filling. But yeah, it's, dude, I'm in rough shape.
And you got one more to go, man.
Josh looks
third
like
period. Here we
Josh
go.
Looks like he came back from a party weekend. That's how Josh looks like right now. That's how much food he's eaten over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, because you can't just, especially in a big gathering, you can't just do the thing of like, oh yeah, only going for one round, guys. I got two more.
Do they last long? Are you like, are you going in for seconds, like hours after the meal is complete? Because how it would happen at my.
I go in for the second plate right after the first plate,
of course,
and then I kind of, and then I'm done.
Yeah.
Then you have dessert, and then I don't go back to it until the next day.
Yeah. But you, like you guys, your family.
Oh, they.
Apparently the start time was 2 o'clock, so it makes sense to make a round.
You would go for a second round, you know, right around the time Sunday Night Football would begin. You know, you're getting in your third plate of turkey.
The Collinsworth slide is just Riccio sliding through the buffet.
My dad and his uncles, they'd start up the poker game late at night, and that would go into the wee hours of the morning. So there was either some pasta agli olio being made in the early hours of the morning, or somebody was going out for a McDonald's run.
Ray is going on somewhere there too.
High Chicago, low Chicago, all the good stuff. All right, Dan Riccio, Bick Nizar. It is Canuck Central. Satyar Shah with the day off. We are going to have our insider Frank Saravalli join us next. His take on the first week in the books for the National Hockey League. That is next on Canuck Central.
Discussing the biggest stories that matter to Vancouver sports fans. Halford and Brough in the morning. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.